M&T Bank presents CEOs You Should Know, powered by iHeartMedia.
Let's meet Jim O'Farrell. He is the president and CEO for Advanced Management Strategies Group, also known as AMSG. Leaders in operations, technologies, and administrative management firm, providing critical support for the federal government and its many missions and responsibilities around the world. Before we talk more about Jim's company, I first asked him to talk a little bit about himself, where he's from, and his origin story.
I'm actually from Annapolis, Maryland. I grew up there as a kid. I went to the public schools. I delivered newspapers, delivered back then it was the Evening Capital, then now the Annapolis Capital, the Annapolis Gazette, and worked in restaurants growing up, and played some lacrosse, some baseball, was in the band in high school, and so into a lot of different activities. And then went to the Naval Academy. I actually was not smart enough to get into the Naval Academy right out of high school, so I enlisted in the Navy and came in about 2 years later. So in my freshman or plebe year, I was turning 21 in October of my plebe year. When some guys were thinking about graduating from college, I was going through the tortures of being a plebe at the Naval Academy. But great formative years for me. I'd say going back to cooking in restaurants at Middleton Tavern in downtown Annapolis and working under some people that were real strict on discipline. I think that really set me up for the military, to do well in the military and succeed there.
Well, first of all, thank you for your service. We're always very appreciative of talking to people that served and also now run companies as CEOs and leaders. And there's a lot to talk about in that arena. Now, we are going to talk a lot about your company, about Advanced Management Strategies Group, or AMSG, as I'm going to refer to, because it'll be a lot easier for me to say. But with all that said, before you joined the company about 13 and a half years ago, as you're coming out of the academy, what was going to be the plan for you?
Well, I was coming out of the academy and I was actually looking to go to flight school. I went down to Pensacola. I met my wife of now 31 years marriage, and that was about the only really good thing that happened to me there. I believe that life can be a series of failures, and it's not that you failed, it's that you learned from it. You know what they say, you know, fail forward, you know, get something from it and learn from it and move forward. Don't let it slow you down. And so coming out of that experience, I ended up serving my time in the Navy as a Supply Corps officer. I really enjoyed that. Spent some time overseas, and that was a real great experience during the Desert Storm era. And then when I came out, I kind of wanted to see if I could do something different from the military and the government and all of that. And so I went to work for AT&T. And I was selling phone systems on K Street in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And, really great experience. Quick story. The guy who they paired me up with, who was probably my age now, but I thought he was ancient at the time because I was in my late 20s. And you think everybody over 35 is really old. And so he said to me at our first meeting, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we'll do the rest of this week. So I'll see you tomorrow at 4:30. And from the mouths of babes, I said, 4:30, are we going to happy hour? And he said, no, son, 4:30 in the morning, we're going to go to K Street and we're going to hang door tags on all of the doors, on all of the law firms and lobbying firms and medical practices. If there's a door, we're going to hang a door tag on it, because the first person through the door is either going to be the office manager, the CEO, or the senior partner. And those are the people that we were trying to get the attention of so we can get our product in front of them. And that really stuck with me. The early bird gets the worm. It's not just a cliche.
Yeah, that's a great story and a lesson for everybody about marketing in the simplest of forms, too. And I did want to, you know, we're going to talk a lot about AMSG and your rise and ascension now as president and CEO in your 13 and a half years with the company. But before we do any of that, we have an opportunity to talk to a lot of leaders out there that did have military experience. And I think there is a lot of relatable things that we can impart to the people that are current leaders and also our future leaders that are listening to this interview about the structure and all that comes with the military. And then when you leave and then you start to run a company, the similarities and the differences. It's respective to, of course, your own story, Jim. But can you explain and talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, I think one of the things that a lot of, you know, there's a common, well, I don't know how many people realize this, but less than 1% of our U.S. population serve in the military. And so that means that, as you know, the all volunteer force has been going now. I want to say we're, this year is like the 40th anniversary of the all volunteer force, that, or maybe more than that, but it's been a long time. And so as we've gone on through these decades, fewer and fewer people are serving. And so one of the things that can happen, I think, in that situation is people start to look at military people as, you know, kind of caricatures, like, oh, they're all this kind of person, or they're all really tough people, or they like to yell at people, or they have this persona. And I really like to break that down. Something that we talk a lot about at AMSG, and it's part of our core values, came directly from the military, and that is the three C's of leadership: competence, courage, and compassion. Competence: do I know my job, or am I striving hard to learn it? Courage: will I make the right decision no matter the impact on me personally or professionally? Will I stand up to the bully? Will I stand up for the little guy or gal who needs some help? And then compassion: do I love my people? And, you know, I coach lacrosse, and we started saying that a few years ago to the players. I love you. I love who you are. I love what you're growing into as a, gonna, you know, as a man that's going to be in this world as a grown up. And one of the players actually came to one of the coaches a couple weeks after we started doing that and said, "Hey, coach, I just want you to know something. You're the only one who tells me they love me." Due to some family situation that this student had, this lacrosse player had. And so, you know, we take that and we bring that into AMSG, and you take it from the military, where obviously discipline is incredibly important. You know, when I tell you we have to take that hill, we need to take that hill. I can't have a whole bunch of debate back and forth about it. But on the other hand, if I show you through my actions that I love you, that I care for you, that I have your back, that I'm standing beside you when the times get tough, then you're going to go that extra mile. And that directly relates, and we see it every day at AMSG, that competence, courage, compassion, those three C's are critical to our success.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And there's also a common thread in the three C's that you're talking about with a lot of our leaders, and it's about culture. And the military has a very specific culture, and it sounds like you brought that over to this company, and also how important people are. So I'll give you a chance to talk about that in just a little bit. But it sounds like in the mission statement, you already talked a little bit about that. But what overall is the mission statement of AMSG?
Yeah, we like to think that our mission is coming straight from our tagline, which we actually rebranded the company in January of this year to celebrate our 15th year. We came up with this new tagline called that says "Forging Solutions for the Missions That Matter." And so as a government contractor that only supports the federal government, we like to think that what we're doing in supporting our federal government and getting involved in some very missions involving national security, missions involving veterans and healthcare, military healthcare, that we are getting involved in some things that are, you know, bigger than ourselves. And we try to recruit people into AMSG who want to be part of something bigger than themselves. And I think a way that exemplifies that, or really personifies that mission of forging solutions for the missions that matter, is recently we were awarded a $60 million contract from the Defense Health Agency. And the Defense Health Agency, if you think of them as the military's healthcare system, so military hospitals and clinics. And one of the deliverables, one of the key aspects of that contract, is to help put on the Warrior Games that happen each year, where military folks can come together and compete against each other. Many of them are, they have amputations, you know, they have significant injuries and that kind of thing. So we're really proud to be part of that kind of a mission.
Outstanding. Thank you for sharing all that, Jim. I did want to get into the weeds just a little bit. If our listener is introduced to AMSG for the first time, tell us what exactly you do and who you work with.
Sure. So if they were coming to us to look for a job, or maybe they wanted to partner with us as a business, what we get involved in a lot is program management, project management, acquisition support, So we're helping the government buy technology solutions, for example. We're not necessarily creating the technology solution, but we're helping them, the government, in, go through the procurement process of acquiring it. And we do this in the Defense Health Agency. For program management support, we do that in the Department of Veterans Affairs. We do that in the at the Federal Trade Commission. We do that with the U.S. Army, with knowledge management support, where we're helping the Army use technologies like Microsoft SharePoint, even ChatGPT, and some other AI tools to make sure that what's happening in one part of the Army is shared to other parts of the Army so they know what's going on. And then one other thing that is exciting for us is, if you've seen what's been happening in Ukraine for the past more than a year now since the invasion by Russia, there's a lot of drone technologies that are really coming to the forefront of people's minds because of the coverage in the media and what's happening in Ukraine. And so one of the things that we do, we support the United States Marine Corps at the Combat Development Command in Quantico, Virginia. And one of the areas that we're involved in there is in counter UAS or unmanned aviation systems. So how do you, what capabilities do you need to bring down drones when they're coming at you in a swarm of 200? You know, people hadn't really thought about that in past warfare.
I'm glad that you're sharing all this, because we get an opportunity a lot to talk to people like you and your 130 plus going strong on the staff about all the things that we never really get to hear about that you do behind the scenes with your contractors, with the government, that keep us safe every single day and night. So it's extraordinary. I appreciate that. Give my best to all your staff for all the incredible work that you're doing. I did want to ask one more thing about Ascension Military and now what you currently do. It's all about rank in the military. Some people like to move up and continue to ascend to get to a pinnacle, whatever that is. With that said, over the last couple years, it's almost 2 years now that you became president and CEO of the company. When you made that transition, what changed, and tell us about that transition?
Sure. Yeah, it was in some ways, you know, you feel like you're ready for it. Okay, I've been at this company now for 13 and a half years. I've been the chief operating officer. I've been a part owner and became more increasingly the owner of the company. And then you transition to be the CEO. One of the first things, and I know that you can appreciate this, Dennis, there's the buck stops here. There's no longer anyone else to say, hey, I need to talk to so-and-so first to see if I can get the final answer on that. You are the final answer. And honestly, I faced a couple of challenges with the company, with a particular customer that I won't name, right out of the gate. And so it really tested my mettle. You know, there's a book out there called The First 90 Days, and, it's about transitioning into a new leadership role. And one of the things that that book talks about is promote yourself, not market yourself or be talking about yourself, but literally promote yourself into that role. Okay, I'm now the CEO. I have to operate differently. I have to interact with my subordinates differently. Some of those subordinates may have been closer to peers, and now they're no longer peers. And so how do you interact with them? I will say this. I immediately went on as we would say in the military, turn and burn, you know, like turn the afterburners on. I turned and burned into another realm, which was employee engagement. In the past, we had not really focused a whole lot at AMSG on employee engagement and where are we with how our employees are, and we call them team members. How are the team members perceiving the leadership, the corporate office, so to speak, of AMSG? So I've put a lot of effort into that. There's another one of my favorite books, Dennis, of all time, actually, and I only found it in the last couple of years. It's called A CEO Only Does Three Things. Sorry. And you mentioned two of them, and that's people and culture. The third one is financials. So really good book on that. And I've read this book four or five times now. You know, listeners can't see it, but you can see I've got it all dog tagged and, you know, a lot of notes in it. And it really brought it home to me that in order to build the best culture that embodies those three C's of competence, courage, compassion, you have to be all about your people. And I want to tell you one quick story, Dennis, about
please.
That.
Yeah, so, please.
Yeah. So I took over in September of 21. you and I both know COVID was still going on in September of 21. We were a little more than a year into it. And I immediately started a program where I started texting a different team member in the company every week. And the text was literally, so I'm going from the top of the organization down to the newest employee, because it was, they were given me at random by one of the folks in corporate. Every week she would send me a name and their cell phone number and say, here's your name for the week. So I'd been doing this for several months, and I texted this woman named Imani, who's a finance analyst, and I said, Imani, how are you doing? Is there anything you need? How's your family? Is everybody holding up okay? And she said, everything's good. And I said, is there anything you need outside of work? And to this day, I don't know what prompted me to ask this question, but I went outside the bounds of the work environment. I said, is there anything you need outside of work, like maybe a hobby that you've wanted to get into? And she came right back, and she said, are you serious? ? And I remember reading that text, and I paused, and I was like, are you serious, Jim? You want to know what she's interested in? And I said, yes, I'm serious. And she said, okay, well, you know, I'm a finance analyst, but I've always wanted to have AutoCAD software on a computer and take a class in it and learn something about how to design engineering models and things like that. And I said, without even really hesitating, okay, we're going to get you the AutoCAD software and we're going to get you a class. So time goes by. About 3 months later, she texts me back, and it has a video, and it's her, and she's talking to her phone, and she says, Jim, I want to show you my computer and what I've been designing in AutoCAD. And I'm so excited about what I'm learning in this area that's completely out of my job. And I can't believe that you did this for me. And so I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm saying that sometimes you have to get outside of your own comfort zone. Like the military sometimes says, you know, in the Army, in the Marine Corps, they talk about your MOS. Like, what is your job? And it can be very, what's your job? What's your job? Know your job. Just know your job. Be competent and all that. Courage, compassion, all that. And sometimes you have to say, wait a second, this person is more than just what they do at AMSG. They have a whole life outside of AMSG. And COVID really forced us. It forced the life and that's work and personal together, as we all know now. So finishing the story, what that led to was I started working with our employee engagement team, the EET, as we call them. We started a hobby program, and now AMSG will pay up to $1,000 a year for any hobby, as long as it still fits within the core values of AMSG. I did have a guy, and he and I joke about this all the time. He's a retired Marine, and he said, Jim, my hobby is single malt scotch. What do you think? And I said, no, I can't really do that, because if you get a DUI after you've had some scotch that I bought for you, that could be a problem. But we laughed about it, and he found a different hobby that we could support him with. So within the past 8 months or so, we have paid out over $40,000 in hobby expenses across everything you can imagine. If you can think of it, I bet somebody has a hobby. Jim, anyway, long story.
Yeah, Jim, no, I'm glad you shared that story, and I'll tell you why. There's some common threads that continue to pop up of your leadership, and as we talk to all the CEOs in this series about how important people are. But there's something else that you talked about that we've been missing since probably COVID, and you see all the nuttiness in the world on fire right now, is that employees and staff want simple acknowledgement and also to have access to the boss. And you did both of those things. And I'm glad that you shared that, because that's a great lesson for everybody out there, because when you're king of the castle, if people don't have access to you, that's an element that you're going to have to deal with if you shut yourself out from the world and your staff that are most important to you. And also, there's not enough people out there, including in my business too, that just don't simply acknowledge. Yeah, I'll give you an example from my end. So I've been a program director for a very long time in sports radio and the spoken word. And I've run into a lot of program directors and my peers that didn't listen to specific shows and then get feedback to the talk show host daily. And that's a hard job to do. It's very specific in what they do. And all these people want to know is that you're listening and critique them, good or bad. and they just want simple acknowledgement. And that's something that you did, and also the accessibility and reaching out to them, I think is extraordinary. So that's a great leadership story, and I'm glad that you shared that with me. I did want to move on to something else that I know is very important. I don't want to assume that there are other companies out there that do exactly what you and your team do at AMSG. But if there are other companies that you compete with, Jim, how do you differentiate yourself from everybody else?
Sure. I mean, I think the number one way, you just said the word people a minute ago, and it really, in our job as a government contractor that does services, the best way we can differentiate ourselves is by bringing the best, smartest, most engaged people to the team to help the customer. At the end of the day, our job as a government services provider is to make the customer the hero. And that's why it's a balance. You want really smart people, but if they're too arrogant, if their smarts comes with arrogance, that can be a real problem, because they have to be able to check their ego at the door. It's classic consulting. You know, I worked at Booz Allen back in the 90s. I've worked at EDS and American Management Systems and KPMG Consulting. And that was one of the things that they really tried to train into us, was this idea of, you know, putting your ego aside, because you need to be able to collaborate with the customer. Sometimes you have to tell the customer they're screwed up. They're going to do something really stupid. If they choose to go ahead and do it anyway, then that's their decision. But, you know, you have to be able to bring the best ideas. And that's what we try to do at AMSG is. And I think going back to what you just said, Dennis, about engaging with them, if the more engaged they feel, they're bringing the best version of themselves. I know it's becoming kind of a cliche now, but they truly are bringing the best version of themselves to that team. And then you see the customer respond to it. I literally was in Chicago at a CEO Circle fly-in call, and in my hotel room, I joined a call with one of our VA teams, Department of Veterans Affairs teams, and you know what the subject of the call, Dennis? It was happy birthday to our customer that we've had for 9 or 10 years. Mm. 40 people on a screen all singing happy birthday together to him, and then roasting him, telling him stories. He's an old West Point retired Army colonel, great guy. His name is Bob. Bob, I don't know if I'm allowed to say his whole name out loud, so I don't want to get him in trouble.
That's cool.
They love him. Everybody loves this guy. And you know what? We want to work even harder for him,
yeah,
because he respects us. He doesn't see it as an adversarial, you're a contractor, you know, kind of a thing.
So I like that. Those are great stories. I'm curious. I know that there are always challenges, and I know that you're looking forward to continue to sustain but also growth. When it comes to challenges that maybe are specific to your industry, what are they today?
Sure. I would say that many other industries, we're in a war for talent. We really are. We are trying to find the best and brightest. A lot of times the government will tell us in their RFPs or request for proposal that you have to have so many years of experience with this position. You have to have a college degree. You have to, there's a kind of a battle going on behind the scenes right now about that, because a lot of people are choosing not to go to college these days, and yet they're gaining tons of experience. And so we should allow that experience to be able to come in to help the government. Just as we do folks with college degrees.
Jim, I also wanted to ask you about philanthropic and charity work. So if we could just put a pin in the business right now, mm-hmm, even though they might align with each other when it comes to either professionally or personally, what do you like to be a part of?
Yeah, well, I several years ago, we decided we'd been doing a lot of different philanthropic work at AMSG, and we decided to narrow the focus down to two areas. So primarily, we're focused on military veterans and supporting the veteran community, and then we're supporting children. And I'll just give you two quick examples. One, I personally serve on the board of the Armed Services Arts Partnership, or ASAP. It's actually based in D.C., and we have chapters in several places across the country, including San Diego, California. And what ASAP does is it helps build community among veterans and their family members and caregivers through the arts, anything from stand-up comedy to storytelling to other art forms, creative writing, things like that. And in fact, their annual gala will be on October 25th in D.C., and we're very at the new wharf, kind of newish wharf area in Southeast. And we're very Southwest, I'm sorry, DC, and we're very much excited about that. And then the other area for the children, the support of children, for the first time in AMSG's history, we're going to send a team of our people to Kenya on July 20th, and they'll be there for 10 days, and they will work in an orphanage called the Makindu School, and then go on what's called a proper walk safari. So they'll be walking for 5 days through the bush, see all kinds of wildlife and things like that. But really the first 5 days is the part that we're most excited about, because that's going to be working with orphans, helping to build up the school. We sent them a whole bunch of books last winter, and the teachers told us through their executive director there that they had to take the books away from the kids because they weren't learning in the class. They were like, you can see them after school. They were so excited that we had taken this. So now we're kind of taking it a next step and putting people on the ground.
That's great stuff. So as we wrap up and put a bow on our conversation, Jim, and once again, listeners, if they're introduced to AMSG for the first time, what takeaway do you want to have for them?
Well, I want them to know that we're a company that is forging solutions for the missions that matter. We want people at our company that want to be part of something bigger than themselves, support a bigger mission, critical missions, missions related to national security and veterans and, across the board in the federal government, and that we are a private sector company. We pay well. We have great benefits. And we'd love to have you. AMSGCorp.net. is our website also.
Outstanding. And you also alluded to that you are hiring the best of the best. You're always looking, correct?
Always looking. That's correct. We have openings right now. Yep.
Outstanding. Jim, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. You know, the common thread in our wonderful conversation as I get to know you a little bit in the company is that people are really, really important to you. And that's not to mean that anybody that I talked to in the series, it isn't. But it's very clear to me that accessibility, acknowledging, and working with the best is really, really important to you, to have all these great people on your staff. So I'm glad that you shared all that, because I think there are a lot of lessons for our current leaders and future leaders out there, that in the end, you're only as good as your people. And I think that you put that point across very, very well. Can't tell you how much we appreciate your valuable time, because we know you're very busy. Give my best to your entire staff. Continued success. And thank you so much for joining us on CEOs You Should Know.
Thanks, Dennis. Have a great day.
Our community partner, M&T Bank, supports CEOs You Should Know as part of their ongoing commitment to building strong communities. And that starts by backing the businesses within them. As a bank for communities, M&T believes in dedicating time, talent, and resources to help local businesses thrive. Because when businesses succeed, our communities succeed.